good evening, well, welcome again to Bellevue West Baptist Church. Like that second to last verse of letter was, that second to last hymn that we just sang, which says, I need thy presence every passing hour. And it is so very true. And our whole life as Christians is always directed towards the Lord Jesus. And it is, Christian life is an impossible life, humanly speaking, but it's possible by God. God living through us by the power of the risen Lord through the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to be looking at various scriptures and pointing out that it is that we live by the Lord Jesus. And that our true joy and our fulfillment is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. First 13 years of my life, I grew up in Murray Bridge in South Australia, and it's a very dry place, roughly 100, well, over 100 kilometres away from Adelaide. And where we lived, the piece of land that we were on was very sandy, very dry. But just across the road from us, there was a strip of land between us and the Murray River. And it would be green all year round. And what happened back in the day was that I think it was the swamps had been drained and dikes had been built along the river, holding the river back. And they had floodgates, which they would open periodically, and they would flood irrigate the paddocks. And that would give green pastures all year round for the stock, which they would graze there for the dairy cows. That was. So it was because of the Murray River that it was possible for there to be such greenery in such a dry place as Murray Bridge, South Australia. There was another source, an abundant source, which made for that rich pasture. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all of our joy and of our fulfillment, and is the very life source of us as Christians. Christ is to be your life and to be my life, and he is to be the very essence of everything. And we see that in John 15:5, without the Lord Jesus, we are completely incapable of doing anything spiritual. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit, for without me we can do nothing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings of your word. And Lord Jesus, once we're saved, it is all about you. And that's all the way it should be, Father. And it should be so, Father, that self would become more and more abased and become less and less of a priority to us, and it would be all about you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd have our service to be all about thee tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would be uplifted and glorified, and that, Lord, we would turn our eyes from ourselves and onto you, Lord Jesus, and I pray that you would take your precious word and you would speak to us. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen. So if we as Christians do have the Lord Jesus as our source of joy and spiritual refreshment, if we do not have that, we'll become dry and therefore unfruitful. And we see here the understanding here of the vine in John, Gospel of John in 15 verse 5. It is the Lord Jesus who is the vine, and that we are the branches. Now, it's a very basic thing that a branch which is not implanted into a vine tree cannot bear any fruit because there's no life source going to it. And so that is the way it is with us as Christians, that once we are saved, that our very life source does not come from ourselves, but rather it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless we have the Lord Jesus sustaining us and living through us, it is possible we may not last the distance spiritually. Not that means that we're not saved, but rather it would be difficult for us to go right through life without eventually making shipwreck.
and we may not last the distance.
Whereas we see in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We see in contrast that the Lord Jesus can enable us to survive any situation. So we see the complete and utter difference there between ourselves being able to do nothing of ourselves and then being able to go through all things through the strengthening power of the Lord Jesus Christ on the other hand.
Mm.
And he is to be the source of our lives as Christians. The Apostle Paul suffered rejection by his own people, beatings, imprisonment, shipwreck, and yet he was able to survive it by the power of Christ. And the Lord Jesus makes the natural impossibilities possible by his power. And that is why the Apostle Paul could say there in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yeah.
And that is the important thing. Until we have received Christ as our Saviour, until we are in Christ, we do not have life. And we see that there in 1 John, and I think it's one of those chapters there of 1 Epistle of 1 John. It says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so to have life, you must have Christ. Amen. And if you've never, ever received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, come to a time where you've simply said, I'm a sinner, I've broken God's laws, and I'm now placing my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, taking my punishment, my penalty, and that he rose again the third day from the dead, that God raised him up from the dead. And it is, unless that has taken place, then you do not have life. And that must take place. Simple faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus. And that is when we are born again. And that is when Christ becomes our life. And we truly become alive for the first time. Now, Jeremiah 2:13, you can turn there if you like. This is the Lord God Jehovah, God the Father speaking. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And at this time, the children of Israel have turned away from God. This is the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And even after all their history of God's deliverance to them, and all their history of God's working in their lives, how he brought them out of Egypt, out from underneath that cruel Pharaoh there who had them enslaved, and how he opened the Red Sea for them and had them come through the Red Sea as on dry ground, and how he fed them manna in the wilderness, and all these things, even giving them water to drink when Moses struck the rock, and just has completely sustained them through all these things and through all the difficulties that they went through, the walls of Jericho falling down, all these things God brought the nation of Israel through and enabled them to come into Canaan to conquer that area. And yet we see in this part here that they have turned away from the Lord. Now, the heathen people around them were loyal to their false gods, who were absolutely powerless to help them in any way whatsoever. May as well be worshipping a chair or worshipping a tree or something. It's not going to help you in any way. And that was the way that they had their false gods, the heathen people around about them, and they worshipped them and they sacrificed them with nothing profitable in return. Then here we have the children of Israel, have a God who has supplied for their needs and has promised to sustain them if they are obedient, and they have turned away from him to follow the gods of the heathen. And so that's terrible. How could they do that? But that is what they did. And so they went from having a God who truly provided for them and was the fountain of living waters.
Yeah.
And they turned away from the Lord, from God, who was the fountain of living waters. And by turning to these gods, it was like they hewed themselves out these broken cisterns which held no water anyway. And that was the evil thing that they had done. They had forsaken the Lord, and they had gone and they had done this. And he had given them all these blessings, this wonderful land flowing with milk and honey, so to speak.
and they've done this.
But you know, there are many Christians who turn their back on the Lord Jesus and they go and they look for another life source.
Yeah.
And they're looking for another fountain in this world, and they're looking for something which is going to quench the thirstings of their soul. And they're thirsty, and they're wanting satisfaction, and they're wanting to have joy, some sort of joy in life, and they turn away from God, who is the fountain of living waters. And the Lord Jesus said that he would be that well of water flowing up in people unto those who are saved, up in them unto life everlasting. And truly Christ is the fountain, and he is the life source. But sadly, so many Christians have turned away and they've tried to hew themselves out a broken system. Now, that's something that would not really give full satisfaction, whether it be immorality, whether it be just going into business just for money or whatever it be, to try and find some sort of a satisfaction and joy, only to find themselves thirsty still.
That's right.
And how important it is that we stay with the Lord Jesus. John 7:38-39, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And lost people do it as well. People who are lost and they know nothing of the love of God, they seek for the pleasures in many avenues of life. They seek to find love, they seek to find joy, peace, all these things. And, whether it be in sport or whatever, or in their job. And it doesn't actually ever truly satisfy. It never truly satisfies, because you can get some form of happiness in life, but you can't get real joy. Real joy only comes from God. And you know, when Christians seek to fulfill the longings of their hearts in other things rather than in God, it's idolatry. It's idolatry when they're really seeking after other things to try to fulfill themselves rather than Christ. They're trying to fill that empty void with something or someone else. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that's idolatry. King David the psalmist said in Psalm 87 verse 7, "As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there, all my springs are in thee." People can have what they believe to be their so-called springs of so-called joy, but the psalmist said, "All my springs are in thee." All in God. That's every avenue of my joy, my fulfillment, everything is in God. All my springs are in thee. So Exodus 17, please. Verses 1-7, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" We see there how the Lord has given the children of Israel water to drink in that sort of place.
And we also read in the New Testament about how they drank of that spiritual rock, which was Christ. We see the type there, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who was smitten, the rock that was smitten for us. And we see later on how Moses was meant to speak to the rock, but he smites the rock twice. And he ruined that type of Christ. The Christ is the rock who was once smitten for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ was smitten for each and every one of us on the cross of Calvary. See, in Joshua chapter 15, verse 19, it says, "Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." Now, this is Ashkah, the daughter of Caleb, who asked her father for a blessing. And he already gave her some land, and she's asking for springs as well. Why would she be doing that? Because water brings life. Water brings life, and there would have been rainfall, but springs of water would make for an even more abundant existence. The springs would supply water for their crops if necessary, and water for their stock. And water is what brings life. And it is Christ that brings life to us. And that without the Lord Jesus Christ, how dry we are when his life is quenched in us. And just like the Murray River Flats, that pasture land would not be possible by the normal annual rainfall, but it's possible by another source. And so what sort of a spiritual life do you desire? One that catches a patch of spiritual rain here and there? Or are you seeking for an abundant supply that will make for an abundant spiritual life? Mm. Which is it that you want? And we see how that with a spring means continual water, continually coming all the time, not patches here and there. And that is how Christ is to be to us, is to be a well of water welling up in us unto life eternal. And we ought to desire a greater spiritual blessing from God. There needs to be a deepening of our spiritual life while spending the time with the Lord in prayer and in his word. Also, we see back in Genesis, again, Genesis 21, verses 15 to 19, moving a fair few different scriptures here tonight. This is the part where Hagar has been cast out from Abraham and from Sarah. She's gone there with her son. Verses 15 to 19 in Genesis 21. So then the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. We could use this sort of as a way of illustrating something, this passage here. For parents, we may be able to think sometimes when we're parents, well, I'm happy with where I'm at spiritually. I think that I've got enough for myself. I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't need anything more. I've got enough supply. I don't need anything more. But the supply that Hagar had ran out. She didn't have much more. And she had nothing more to give her son, and he was dying, and God heard the voice of Ishmael, interesting. And God knew that there was a need, but he supplied a person and a source to fulfill the need. He opened Hagar's eyes, she filled the bottle of water and gave her son nourishment. And as parents, what are we going to be doing with our children?
Are we just content with enough for ourselves spiritually, or do we need something to give to our children?
Yeah.
And how we need to, as parents, whether it be mothers teaching their children, fathers teaching their children, we need to be passing on spiritual truth to our children. But we as parents, we need to see that there is a well of water for us to feed our children. The Lord Jesus Christ is an endless and liberal supply which contains the abundance that we need to feed our children. And so we can just use that scripture there as just as a way of illustrating, not as a exposition, but as an illustration to a degree there. And we know that the water of Christ is satisfying. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Jesus answered unto, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. He's speaking to the Samaritan woman. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Also, we see here prophecy in Zechariah 12:10 and Zechariah 13:1. Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Zechariah 12:10. It's a prophecy of Christ's return. In Zechariah 13:1, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness." And we see here a prophecy of the pure and precious fountain that will be opened to all for the cleansing and forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. And again, here we see the gospel. Well, here's a good place for the gospel. The Lord Jesus was nailed to a cruel Roman cross, and he was pierced with the head of a spear that caused blood and water to flow from his riven side. And this precious cleansing fountain is now open for all. And how people miss this precious gift, which is from God. No amount of good works, no amount of religious living will ever be able to take away the eternal stain of sin is upon your heart. But there is a stream of mercy, cleansing, and forgiveness that flows from the fountain. And for any person, they can plunge into that fountain and they can be cleansed from their sins if they come to the Lord in true repentance and faith. And there is a fountain there whereby we can be cleansed. And God says this for everyone. Revelation 21:6. "And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Salvation is for all. Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whoso will, let him take of the water of life freely." It's Revelation 22:17. And so salvation is for all. And once we are saved, the Lord Jesus is there, the continual fountain for us to be refreshed spiritually in a dry world. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are to be our life source. Help us to remain close to you, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And may we know the fulfillment and the blessing, Father, and the refreshment of living by your life, Lord Jesus, not by our own lives, but by thee living through us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.